This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us today. Glad to have our good friend Randy Caranci back in studio with us. E-Bike of Colorado. They're located in Louisville at 544 Front Street. The number is 720-739-0299. Randy, good to see you, sir.
Good to see you, Scott.
How's the last few weeks and a couple of months been?
Pretty good.
Now, you guys had your celebration of your deal. I think, was it in July, right?
Yeah, okay. July 1st. 5 years.
5 years. Business. Wow.
Yeah.
So looking at 5 years ago when you started and where you are today, are you shocked? It just all that you've been through and where you are today?
It is a little bit shocking. Blessed, I think,
right,
is a good way. Unbelievable.
Right.
Just very, very nice growth, nice controlled growth. You know, you can get too big too fast, too.
Sure.
You know, and we've been really, really fortunate to have the folks we have, the mm-hmm. staff we have, and be able to handle our customers the way I believe should be handled.
Right. No, I tell you, that's key. And, I mean, I don't know of a business, honestly, you know, that even I work with and just friends that own businesses that, boy, the struggle of the staffing is, you know, still going on a lot. And, man, you're – base is solid.
Scott, it's part of it is you got to pay them pretty well too. Mm-hmm. And I don't want them looking for work, so they get a good base pay and all,
right,
and all of
right.
that. So that's very, very important.
Sure. Do you find most people have some sort of knowledge of e-bikes when they come into the store, or have some, you know, been on them before, and that's what made them want them? What are some of the reasons that people finally come in?
5 years ago, they didn't know much about them.
Yeah.
Now, they're very, you know, well-educated on them. They search it. They Google it. They do whatever they need to do, right, to get a little bit familiar. Mm-hmm. Every now and then, though, you still get this – a couple of people coming in and they're just really unsure. They've done all of that, but they're still a little bit unsure. We don't have that kind of talk like, oh, is this a motorcycle type of thing?
Right.
We don't have that as much anymore. We did in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things. So they learn. We also educate them. We've talked about
sure.
this many times, but it's kind of like an interview process mm-hmm. with them. What are you looking for? What style? What, you know, do you want a throttle with your bike? A rear hub has a throttle. A mid-drive has a pedal assist only. Both styles, both classes have a pedal assist.
Right.
So, and all that really means, Scott, is that when you're pedaling it, that engages the motor.
Mm-hmm.
When you stop pedaling it, the motor is no longer engaged. You can also turn that off totally, ride that without any motor assist or pedal assist,
right,
and then the rear hub drive with the throttle. There's always going to be an exception. There's some mid drives with throttles, but when you're riding it and you have that throttle, that rear hub, that's the kind of bike you have.
No, I was just fixing to say, man, there's so much about it, you know. And we spent, you know, 6 months almost talking about bikes before, honestly, you know,
yeah.
I was able to get on one due to my fault for not coming up on your invitations, but. I'm telling you there's so many things that I love about it is, one, I kind of had in my mind, it's going to be so complicated. You know, I'm going to have to be driving and thinking about what to push and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm just being honest. I
yeah.
thought it was going to be really complicated. And it's so easy.
It's simple.
I mean, you don't even have to move your hands from the handlebar. You just reach up with your thumb, hit whatever you want, you know.
Yeah.
And then the second thing, and some people have told me this when I've talked to them now about e-bikes, they're going like, well, hey, you know, I need the exercise. I'm like, dude, you're still getting exercise. I mean, I'll do a 10-mile ride, you know, back through some trails up by our Cabela's and Lone Tree, back around to Quebec and Lincoln area. And use the pedal assist every once in a while. I had a knee replaced a couple of years ago, but I still get that exercise. But, I mean, I think I've only gone up to a level two of helping with that, and then I take that off. And then you get back, and you still burn, you know, almost 700 calories, you know, just what I was doing. And I'm no professional cyclist or whatever by any means. But, and I love that I can keep the same pressure, so to speak, on my knees, as I, you know, go. So it's just, man, it's
so that's
super
a strength builder.
Fun. Yeah, well, absolutely.
And people think you're cheating. I mean, we hear that all the time. So I guess I could say it's fair that you have regrets or no regrets.
Oh, no regret. I regret I waited so long. Yeah, after I met you, man. I wish I'd have bought one at the International Sportsman's Expo. But no, they're really great. And you know, yeah, and some people say, oh, they're heavy. And, you know, okay, are they a little bit bigger than probably some of the bikes we grew up with? Absolutely. You know, but I'm telling you, so easy to manage. I mean,
because the assist, the motor assist helps with that additional weight. You're going to have weight. You've got a motor, you got a battery, but, you know, it's going to add 25 pounds to that bike.
Right.
And, you know, Scott, you said you live down by the Lone Tree area. You know, that's a long ways from Louisville, isn't it?
You know, it cracks me up, and I've had a few people, even clients of mine, that said, man, I've heard that guy, and I want to go look, but it's so far over there. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? It is not. There's freeways. There's backways. You can go. I said, and I mean, honestly, I think especially even, well, from here at the studio, I'm going to be over in about 35, 40 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And so add 15, 20 minutes over there. But I'm telling you, it's a super easy drive.
Yeah, and we're right in downtown Louisville, so you could go, you know, come in, ride a few bikes. People could come in, test ride a few bikes, maybe go have some lunch, think about it a little bit, come back, ride a couple more, maybe make a decision and maybe not. Maybe take a couple of days to think about it and do what you need to do. And so I was being facetious when I said
I know,
And because we hear it all the time, you know, somebody goes, gosh, I live in Fort Collins or I live in Colorado Springs. And those people drive and they are going, wow. I am so glad we came here because of our selection, over 100 bikes on our showroom floor for test rides.
And you've got the, I mean, you're not just riding around your parking lot.
Oh, no.
Okay, so that, I need to point that out. You've got trails that you can ride, so you can really get the feel.
Our test ride is about a 3-mile round trip test ride, but you climb a hill, you ride on all the type of terrain, and not all, but a lot of the terrain that you would experience in your neighborhood, in your, you know, we don't have single track type climbs, but there's some pretty good climbs. You rode that test ride.
Right.
You can test as many bikes as you want. Come down, try 4, 5, 10. We don't care, as many as you want. And it's interesting because, you know, we talk about, you know, the Front Range of Colorado, right?
Right.
We've got people coming in from New Mexico and Montana and Idaho and Utah and Kansas and Nebraska, Wyoming, you name it. People are driving in to Louisville to try these bikes because they know we've got the bikes. And we stock over 400 in our warehouse.
Yeah, no, I mean, when you go there, folks, you will understand you are in a real bicycle shop.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all you guys do. And yeah, I tell you, great service and knowledgeable service. And here's another thing I'll point out is, I mean, when I've been in the store before, I've seen the real type cyclists because I can just tell the questions they're asking versus the questions like I ask, and they're way different because, I mean, they're very knowledgeable, and your staff 100% could answer those questions. And then they treat you still good, you know, and well, when you're starting out and you have probably the dumb questions, you know, but they don't make you feel like that. And I appreciated that because I just, man, I hadn't been on a bike in years, you know.
Well, there's no dumb question because I asked them all.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a cyclist. I was never a cyclist. I'm a business guy. I saw the opportunity. I rode some e-bikes before I got into the business and I went, man, this is fun. I feel like a kid again. I rode bikes as a kid. We lived in what we would say in the country, you know.
Right, right.
And so I didn't ride a bike to town to with my friends. My dad would throw it in the back of his truck and drop me off in town. And I'd ride bikes, you know, around town like that. But I didn't ride my bike to school like a lot of my friends did. So now as I age into life, I think people as they age into life, you're moving your body, you're moving your hips, you're moving your knees, your ankles. It's it's good. It's good for you, and it also clears your head.
Sure.
You know, that space between you're thinking about things that probably shouldn't even be thinking about, and all of a sudden you're riding and you go, your mind clears, mm-hmm. and it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun thing.
No, absolutely. It's 544 Front Street. The number is 720-739-0299. Let's talk about this a minute, because this hits a lot of industries, and even some of the gun stores I work with. A lot of people will shop online. They'll find something, get it shipped in. You know, they pay a few dollars for a transfer fee on a weapon, that kind of thing. And then if there is an issue, they come to that gun store sometimes expecting them to kind of provide all the service as if they bought it there. And so I just want to talk about some of the benefits of buying here local with a fantastic shop like yours that has an outstanding reputation, has a service department. But, you know, people can't expect to order something, you know, online, then expect you to do all the things, you know, like for free or no charge or whatever, because, I mean, you've got your own customers to take care of. But just kind of educate people about that.
Yeah, so, you know, our tagline is just try it, okay?
Right.
So that is in itself a benefit from buying something.
Sure.
You've got to try these things because everybody has a different style of riding. They're looking for something different. And what I like or what you like, this bike that you got or bikes that I have, may not be at all for somebody else, right? But there's enough selection and enough amount of riding to do that you can get a good feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the internet, we've had this happen, and just recently we had to shut it down where we would service outside bikes. We're still trying to get people riding bikes and whatnot, you know.
Sure.
But they buy it on the internet. We're getting some people that are upset. They're buying them. They're putting them together themselves. They're not working when they're done. They demand to speak to a mechanic. All these different types of things. That's craziness, mm-hmm. right? We've got to take care of our people. So, you know, we assemble them in our warehouse. You saw that process.
Yeah.
And then, but that's not the bike build. And then it goes through the mechanic stand. So one of our highly qualified e-bike mechanics puts the final torques on all the bolts and nuts, and they do the diagnostic on the upgrade of any software that mm-hmm. needs to be done. All that's included in that. And then that goes on the floor for sale bike or a test ride bike, or it goes on in the customers, because the customer paid for that and bought that bike.
Right.
That in itself is worth a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all included in our pricing. You know, they'll get a free tune-up right out of the box, because like it or not, something pulled out of the box, whether the person pulling it out of the box damaged it or it came damaged in that box, or not even damaged, but just out of tweak.
Sure.
Our mechanics are going to pick up on that immediately.
Right.
And just because we have had such a phenomenal sales process here these last 5 or 6 months, we've got to take the time for our customers
mm-hmm.
and not service. That might open again in December
sure.
or something, because it might slow down a little bit, but we don't really expect it to slow down mm-hmm. so much, even through December. And historically, December, January are our slowest months.
Right.
And but it doesn't look like it's going mm-hmm. to happen. It just, the growth just continues.
Yeah.
And the patterns, that's all I can go off of.
Yeah.
Right. And so if they buy it online or they buy it from somebody else that doesn't have the service, there's some of these online sellers now are throwing up pop-ups. Okay, so they don't mm-hmm. have really still any real expense
exactly.
like a brick and mortar does, and they just give the bike to the customer in a box and said, here, good luck. And they go, I want you to assemble it, and I want you to put it together for me. I don't know anything about this. There's one popular internet bike that this happens, and they've got a pop-up store here in Colorado. They said, it's $500, and it's 3 to 4 weeks before we can do it. Take it to your local e-bike store. They'll put it together for you.
Mm.
We just aren't doing it.
Yeah.
You know, we can't.
Well, and I mean, too, we ought to be supporting. I mean, good night. All we've been through, everybody, we need to support our local companies here, family-owned companies, man.
Absolutely.
You know, absolutely. So, hey, just wanted to bring that up real quick. But you know what? Hey, friendly store. They want to help you. pick out the right bike. They'll spend the time with you. Once again, the address is 544 Front Street there in Louisville. The number is 720-739-0299. And when you go in, hey, tell them you heard them on Haystack Help Radio, and you'll also hear them on Sportsman of Colorado, our show on the weekends. But just let them know you heard them on KLZ, and we'd appreciate that. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Want to keep making your 30-year payment but own in 15 years? Want to be able to access your equity for future needs and not pay for it now? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. We have been showing Coloradans how to own their home in less time without changing their 30-year payment. Home values are at the highest in their history. Take advantage of being able to access your equity for 10, 20, 30 years without making payments now. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Worried about inflation? Everything getting too expensive? Learn how to be able to access your equity without having to refinance and pay closing costs over and over and over. Do it once, and you're good for 30 years. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Tired of paying too much interest to own your home? Stop! Learn how to lower your total interest cost, 720-895-0500. Locally owned and operated since 2001, and where it's all about you is not just our motto, it's who we are. NMLS 298191, regulated by DORA.
Do you know what direction the stock market will go? Nope, no one does. But it's extremely important to discover the tools you can use if the market goes up, down, or sideways. These same tools could be used for income strategies or long-term wealth strategies. Text the word INVESTING to the number 210-210 and join us for a free investing class right here at OTA. Text the word INVESTING to the number 210-210 today. Also, check out the podcast, Investing and Trading Live, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, today at 3. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. If you're just joining us, Randy Carancy is with us, E-Bike of Colorado. And I'm telling you, folks, as Randy has said many times on the show, just try it. I'm telling you. If you haven't been on a bike in a while, it'll be something that's super refreshing for you and super fun. I've really, really enjoyed mine. So just get by and see them, as Randy mentioned in the previous segment here. Hey, go try them out. Hey, they've got the trails right there. And again, they will help you get fitted to the right bike for your needs. Now, Randy, we live in a great state. We got mountains. So e-mountain bikes.
Yeah. Yeah, we now have launched a website. It's probably not robust yet, but okay, it's a EMTB, so Electric Mountain Bikes of Colorado. So it's still E-Bike of Colorado, Electric Mountain Bikes of Colorado. We have really stepped into this space heavily, way more than anybody else in the state. I think at the latest, I got about 150 full suspension mountain bikes with the Orbea brand, the Bulls, Cube, high bike, and we just took on Bianchi. So people that understand bikes and know bikes, Bianchi is a huge name in that. They came to us. It was really nice that they knocked on our door.
Sure.
And and Harley Davidson.
Oh, okay.
Harley Davidson has an e-bike, and so we took on Harley too. This has just happened in the last couple of weeks between Bianchi and Harley. But here's the thing. The guys in my store, the mechanics, I'm telling you, they can make bikes dance, right? And they've been riding, we call it the acoustic bikes against the electric bikes, acoustic guitar, electric guitar. Mm-hmm. Somebody coined that name. It's kind of stuck. So they ride a lot of mountain bikes that are acoustic bikes. No motors, no assist. But they're taking some of these nice bikes out, these full suspension mountain bikes, and they're going, holy smokes, this is a game changer. And we actually have a guy that did a YouTube, he came to us and did a YouTube thing on it, and he really, really did a nice review for us. So here's what it is, and we're working, we continually work with the county commissioners and to get more electric bikes approved on the single track trails. We're always going to get that resistance from that purist mountain bike rider or that purist cyclist. We're always going to get a little bit of pushback on that. But it's changing. E-bikes are here to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And So when you see this and you start to see these guys, like I said, and they actually, some of my sales guys, they're all riding these bikes together. They've kind of made it a group thing for themselves.
Right.
They'll take out after work or something. It's getting a little darker earlier now, but they would ride those bikes, and those guys can make those bikes dance, I'll tell you. And they ride, instead of maybe one or two runs or laps or whatever they call it, they might do three. And they're spent at the end of that. They're beat. You can just see them. Their legs are burning. Mm-hmm. But they did three instead of one. Wow. And went on a regular bike at one, they were spent. But now they're having fun. There's, you know, they'll ride a track, and then they go, there's a Y in the road, so they'll go to the left. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all they see that day. But then they'll go, the next run, they'll go to the right, and, you know, it's different. It's a different terrain and different way of riding. Big, it's going to be big in the whole process. And once again, we step up first. Sure. I had a competitor call me and say, what are you doing? I mean, friendly competitor. What are you doing in this space? And I said, you should think about it. It's going to be real. Hmm. And now it is real.
Right. So. Absolutely. Now, for those who haven't caught the show before, there's classes of these bikes, right? So kind of explain the classes a little bit.
Sure. I'll do it this way. Class 1 and Class 3 are identical bikes, okay? You have to pedal the bike to engage the motor. No throttle, no boost. You have to pedal it. As soon as you stop pedaling it, the assist doesn't help you. You can also turn that bike off totally and just ride it like a regular bike. So the Class 1 is 20 miles an hour, and the Class 3 is 28 miles an hour. Identical in the way of the classification, just one goes 8 miles an hour with boost, with help, more than the Class right. 1. The Class 2, that's the bike you have, mm-hmm. it has also all of that same feature. You could pedal it. You don't have to, you know, it'll take you up to about 25 miles an hour pedaling it. But then it adds a throttle, or some people refer to it as a boost. So now, Scott, you probably have experienced this now that you're riding your bike more. You're on an incline. You stopped for whatever, get a drink of water, right. But you stopped and you go, why did I stop on this incline? Mm-hmm. I should have waited till I got to the top of the hill. Use your boost, get you going, kind of like you were when you were a kid.
Very smooth.
Very smooth, yeah.
Or, it's kind of like, you think about it. What is, if you picture in your mind what would happen when you were a kid, was what would happen? Probably dad would get behind you and push you, right, to get you going.
Exactly the same. I was just going to say, that's awesome, because that's exactly the analogy I use. It's like you're getting that little bit of help for balance, and once the momentum is going on a bike, you start pedaling, you're good to go. It's once again, as we age into life, or whoever, could be a younger person too. You're at a stop sign. Your balance just isn't right just at that point. Maybe you got a kid in tow, you know, a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old in tow, and they're throwing your balance off a little bit. Use that throttle to just get you going. I'm talking about 2 or 3, 4 miles an hour.
Right.
You can go. You went 3 or 4 miles an hour. You start pedaling. Now you can pedal through, let go of the throttle. You're good. You're just getting your pedal assist, just like you would on a Class 1 or a Class 3. So it can be considered the best of both worlds.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I love mine. Absolutely. Now, you mentioned bike groups, and you guys do some things together with your clients.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Y'all do some get-togethers.
It got so hot at noon on a Sunday, and we used to do Sunday group rides just every Sunday. And, well, you know, the pandemic, that scared a lot of people away, but just as of late, we were doing group rides, but it would just get so hot. And we'd get 20, 25 people at a time, and we would go for about an hour and a half. Now, we're going to re-implement this coming up because it'll start getting a little cooler as we go into fall.
Sure, it'll be really nice.
It'll be really beautiful. We'll start to see the fall colors coming and all of that. And one of our big ride areas was in that unfortunate fire on December 30th. So I didn't like going into those areas. It's starting to get accepted a little differently. The greenery's coming up and whatnot.
Right.
But And then we used to do Thursday nights. We won't do Thursday nights now because it gets darker sooner. Mm-hmm. That's always a nice thing in the summertime.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's cool. It cools down, and so there's that. And then we have barbecues. We have a big celebration the first Friday of December. We cater in food, and it's a parade of lights in Louisville. So we always are in the parade, and some people come and ride the parade, and other people just come in and have a glass of wine and a beer or a soda or whatever their liking is. And then we all come back after the parade. And last year we had a DJ. This year I'm thinking we're going to get a live band. It's fun. It's a good time. So there's those types of things. And like I said, every now and then we'll just fire up the grill.
Yeah.
People come by and they'll go, what are you guys celebrating? And go, lunch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no rhyme or reason to it. We're just doing it.
Absolutely.
And you want to join us, you're welcome to. We've got burgers and dogs if you want.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, I think in a way that's that kind of Italian blood in me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta feed.
You gotta have food if you're gonna do anything.
Yeah, so that's fun stuff, and it's just building community around our bike shop or even cycling. You know, we do do the bike to work days. We did the winter bike to work day. We have a little different twist than most bike to work stations. We usually have mimosas or Bloody Marys, along with coffee and Danish and breakfast burritos,
and
boy, the word gets out quick. Not that the people are coming over to drink a mimosa or something because they're pretty lightweight. We let them pour their own. But it's kind of fun because they're going, you are the talk of the town. They're you got to go over to E-Bike at Colorado Station. Those guys are awesome. Yeah. You know? That's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, Randy Kranz has been our guest. It is E-Bike of Colorado, ebikeofcolorado.com. It's 544 Front Street there in Louisville. 10 to 7 every day, right?
Every day of the week.
All right. And 720-739-0299 is the number. And once again, just want to tell you, there's a lot of places that you will see ads for brands of bikes. And folks, how do you think all that gets paid for? All right. Randy, there's some bikes. I mean, and there's some coming to do a lot of marketing. And, hey, we're advertising right now, too. Nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
But what I'm saying is that doesn't make a bike better because it's some, you know, in some kind of big ad or something. You got to go try them, like you said. You know,
just
it doesn't do
it.
Any good just to read all that stuff. So, hey, get by, get on them yourself. Let the fine folks there at E-Bike of Colorado help you out. And once again, they will find you the right bike. So, Randy, as always, man, a pleasure. And again, catch Randy on our Sportsman of Colorado show. So, hey, if you're into the camping, fishing, hunting, or just getting outdoors, we're going to be covering a lot of that with Randy on an upcoming episode of Sportsman of Colorado. So get by and see him. Once again, it's E-Bike of Colorado, 544 Front Street in Louisville. Thanks for being with us today for Haystack Help Radio. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Before we get back to the show, let me remind you, coming up next is Food Chat. Hey, this is a great show, and you're going to learn a lot about food, where it comes from, food production. Greg Bloom and Chef Jackson Lamb will be with you, so don't go anywhere. Stay tuned for Food Chat.
Hey, Dan. You know, our jobs are pretty different. I'm a baseball announcer. You're an attorney and a talk show host.
Yeah, but we do have something in common.
Really? What's that?
Our favorite car dealer, Len Lyle Chevrolet.
Yeah, definitely not your typical dealership.
That's so true, Jack. No high-pressure sales tactics. They respect your time. And when you have two jobs, that's important.
You know, I'd recommend Len Lyle Chevrolet to anyone. And with their low overhead, that means
lower prices. Yeah, we really do have something in common.
Len Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the least. Chevy, find new roads.
Before we get back to the show, you know, our eyes are very important. Let me tell you who I've been trusting my eye care to. It is Stack Optical. For over 10 years, hey, Alan's been taking great care of us, and he will take great care of you as well. Their eye exam, folks, is only $69, and it has been $69 for years. And Alan just says, hey, they want to give a great eye exam, a thorough eye exam, and take care of you, so they've never raised that price. So get in. Give them a call, 303-321-1578 for all your optical needs. If you're needing a new pair of glasses, hey, you want to have a better experience in the outdoors, whether it's golf, riding your bike, they've got the Stack Sports Pack, so prescription sunglasses. Maybe you've got a hard prescription no one else has been able to figure out. Give Alan Stack a chance at Stack Optical. Of course, they can handle repairs, your contacts, all of it. Right there at 2233 South Monaco Parkway in Denver. 303-321-1578. StackOptical.com is the website. And always tell you, at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh & Beck Law has a unique background that makes him a more effective advocate for you. He handles both criminal and civil cases. Most attorneys only do one or the other, but Kevin has almost 25 years of experience on both sides, which means he has more practice in the courtroom. Most personal injury attorneys will say they have experience in court, but since only about 10% of personal injury cases actually go to trial, those attorneys only appear in court once or twice a year. Because Kevin also takes criminal cases, he appears in court constantly. Kevin has a rare ability to present an argument that only comes from years of experience learning how to read a courtroom. Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh continues to practice both civil and criminal defense because he believes the courtroom keeps him nimble. Trial tested, trial ready. Kevin Flesh of Flesh & Beck Law. Schedule a free consultation now. 303-806-8886.
KLZ 560, your home station.
Welcome to Food Chat, a weekly show that's all about food production, including farming, ranching, processing, and basically all things involved in getting food from the field to your plate. Now, let's get you reconnected to your food, and here are your hosts, Greg Bloom and Chef Jackson Lamb.
Talk about an uphill battle, 2,000 acres of beans and cattle. But he don't ever get rattled. He just goes till the sun goes down. Hydraulic fluid on his jeans.
This is Gregory Bloom, your host at Food Chat. Food Chat is all about reconnecting you to your food. And today we have a special feature at Food Chat, a special edition on bakeries, local bakery. In fact, a local bakery that you've never heard of, because they sell food service only, meaning they sell to food distributors that sell to restaurants. We call that food service. We also call restaurants operators in the industry. So you might hear me say operators or food service. So where do you find great buns if you can't find them at retail? Well, they're kind of hard to find. And I'm going to have our guest today, Gino Cherenzia from the Harvest Moon Baking Company, explain this. Now, I've been selling burgers in Colorado for over 30 years. I've worked for six different USDA meat plants, and I've mostly just sold beef burgers, high-quality gourmet beef burgers. And I have a blog I've put out, a three-part blog at ranchfreshmeats.com. You can go to blogs at ranchfreshmeats.com and find out my thoughts on how to get a gourmet burger. Whether you're making it at home or whether you're trying to find it at food service, they can be hard to find because, you know, operators are all about making money. And so they sometimes, not all of them, but some of them look for the cheapest products that they can buy. And in the beef business, the cheapest products they can find concerning beef burgers are not the best quality ones. And the reason for that is that a lot of beef burgers are made from dairy cows that are second career, you know, after they get done producing milk, those animals turn into ground beef. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a great purpose for those animals, but it doesn't create the best quality burger. So in my blog that I have at ranchfreshmeats.com, you can see that I say that the best quality beef comes out of fed cattle. Fed cattle meaning animals that are under 30 months old that are used just for meat. These are the animals that you'd find super high quality steaks from at a restaurant. And they also make the best burger, because I've seen these carcasses in the beef plant hanging. Let me tell you, when you have a young beef carcass, an animal that was fed for grain for about 100 days, the quality of the meat is just incredible, both visually and when you eat it. So that makes the best beef burgers, and I talk about that in my blog. But, you know, there are some great beef burgers in the Denver metro area. You just kind of have to know where to go because, you know, you really wouldn't be able to read the box that's coming in the back of the store unless you're dumpster diving, which, by the way, I do dumpster dive, not to try to reclaim any food that's in there, but to see where restaurants are getting their meat from. Mostly it's just a curiosity thing, but sometimes, like, for example, I've seen restaurants say on their menu that they have a Kobe beef burger. Well, a Kobe beef burger would cost like $40 or $50 if it was truly a Kobe beef burger. Now, Kobe is a city in Japan that's famous for their Wagyu beef cattle and the way they're raised and the genetics of those animals. And you really would have a hard time finding an authentic Kobe beef burger in the Denver area. You can maybe find one on the coast in Los Angeles or maybe in New York, but that burger is going to cost you $50, $60. And a steak out of a authentic Kobe Wagyu animal in Japan is going to cost you a couple $100s if you eat it in food service. But here in the United States, you know, we do try to copy things. And so we've copied this Wagyu genetic strain that's found in Japan. And we call it American-style Kobe beef. So not too many restaurant operators will put that on their menu, American-style Kobe beef. It's just too long. So they just say Wagyu. They say Wagyu burgers. And I sell a great quality Wagyu burger to restaurants. And it's made here in the United States. And it's a great burger, but it's not a Kobe beef burger from Japan. So I see my guest, Gino, is online. Gino, welcome to the show. Welcome to Food Chat.
I'm here, Greg. How are you?
Great, great. Good to have you on the show today. We have Gino. Hey, Gino, if I'm not saying your last name right, just smack me when you see me next time. But it's Charenzia, right?
Charenzia.
Yeah.
Charenzia, yep.
Yeah, and Gino, yep. You and I, you work for the Harvest Moon Baking Company, and I want to have you kind of share your industry experience selling high-quality food service buns for a long time. But you and I have, you know, been in the same circles for many, many years. I'm usually at a food show selling beef patties, and I was just introducing this show today talking about gourmet beef patties and Wagyu beef. But there you are selling the bun. So we're like the dynamic duo.
Yes, yes. It takes both to make a good burger, that's for sure.
It does. Hey, Gino, a lot of people listening to this show probably haven't heard of the Harvest Moon Baking Company, or of you. So let's just start from the beginning. Tell us about you. How did you get into the food business and into the bun business?
Well, it's a long story, but I'll give you the condensed version. Basically, I was washing dishes in Detroit. I grew up in Detroit, suburbia, in a band and washing dishes in high school. And I ended up trying to go to college for a little while. It didn't really work out so well. So this guy I was going to college with ended up being the youngest owner, operator, franchisee of a Burger King in the country. And he asked me if I would want to go run this Burger King with him. And you're never going to believe where. Vail, Colorado.
Wow. Nice place to live.
Yeah, so I moved there when I was 20.
Wow.
And blew off, said, screw college. And if you're listening, kids, go to college. But it was quite the experience. We ended up having it for 5 years up in Vail. I was one of the, you know, managers of the Burger King. And, you know, it was just a crazy time up there. And Vail skied and worked our butts off. And it was great. And from there, after that, I moved over to the Sun and Alpen Vale. I worked at Le Tour back in the day when Walter Moritz was a chef up there. I ended up, you know, kind of doing a lot of music things. So I would come down to Denver every weekend. And after 10 years of Vail, I ended up moving to Denver. And I worked at Strings Restaurant, which was at 17th and Humboldt for a long time. It
right.
was like the restaurant in town to go to. I mean, we had everybody from Mick Jagger to Paul McCartney and Linda McCartney and, you know, every celebrity that would come to town would go to Strings.
Right. I do remember that.
Yep. It was crazy. And Noel, rest his soul, was a great guy to work for. I learned a lot there. And I ended up segueing from that into the music industry, believe it or not, because we worked with a lot of label reps and we did a lot of catering for Barry Fay, who was the big concert promoter here in town for a long time. And so I ended up from there going to Brendan's Pub, which was a blues bar here in Denver, Denver's Home of the Blues. I ran that for a number of years. Then I went out on the road as a guitar tech and a road manager for a couple local bands, Opie Gone Bad, Nina Story. They were pretty big, you know, 20 years ago here in town. So from there, I got done with that little stint of the music industry and started working for the gentleman I work for now today. And he had the Wolfgang Pucks downtown at the Pavilions. So I started doing, like, marketing and special events for him down there. And one day, he called and said, hey, I just bought this bakery. And it was actually Il Fornaio's bakery, which is where we are today. And he's like, I need you guys to go over there and turn this thing into something for me. You know, he had a bunch of restaurant concepts that he was wanting to support with the bakery at that time. So we, at that time, we were doing pastries out of this facility. We were doing breads, but not really what we're doing today. So we did that for a couple years, and then we ended up basically just killing that whole business model, and we started getting into the bun business. Burger buns, burger buns, burger buns, burger buns. And it was huge. We got picked up by the big distributors here in town. To this day, we sell to, you know, to everybody. We're equal opportunity bun hustlers. We sell to all the distributors. But the bun business really kicked in for us. We got the Vail bun, the Epic bun, which is, you know, their main bun for their Epic burger. And we still have that today. We've had that for like 9 years. And the resort towns are really, really big for Harvest Moon. We I go up there a lot and kind of visit all the ski resorts that we sell to, as well as the surrounding restaurants that, you know, they might use local bakeries to support them, but the local bakeries can't keep up with the volume during peak season, so we're a really good alternative. Harvest Moon is a handmade, preservative-free, frozen, thaw and serve like fresh, rockin' bread. We have everything from buns to sliders to hoagies to pan loaves, and we've just been really fortunate and done really well with it. So it's been a great thing for us.
Since I started selling burgers, Gino, 31 years ago, I've noticed over time that the quality of the ingredients has gotten better, including buns. You know, I started selling, actually cooking burgers when I was a kid. I was 16 years old. My first job off the farm up in Brighton was working at the local McDonald's. And the local McDonald's had, you know, they use so many buns. They bring in fresh buns every day or every other day. And because they go through so many buns. But even back then, we were toasting the buns, putting butter on the buns to make that, you know, the perfect bun. But since then, yeah, I've noticed that the independent operators, the quality of the buns have gone way up. And even in the last one, why don't you talk a little bit about the potato bun? Because that's that brioche potato bun is one of my favorites now. And there's a lot of good buns out there. But is that a newer bun or a newer idea, the potato bun? When did that start coming out?
Well, so the potato bun that we make is a little different than like the national potato bun. There's this company called Martin's out of from back east that Shake Shack actually started this big trend with them. They use Martin's potato bun, and it, you know, it's kind of a spongy bun, super soft, super small, super squishy. You know, the difference between us, like you said it a minute ago, I mean, we're a little bit higher quality because it's preservative-free. Like their potato, the big, you know, Speed Bakery mass-produced buns are going to be full of preservatives. They just taste different. They look different. They're all fully automated, you know, pretty much manufacturing facilities compared to us, where we're still a little hands-on and handmade. So our potato bun, it's not a brioche bun, our potato. It's a straight potato bun, so it's a classic dough with some, we put actual potato in the mix. We top it with a little flour, so it's a flour-dusted potato bun. It toasts up great, you know, butter wheel and a flat grill, and you've got a kick-ass bun right there.
Gino, tell us a little bit about why you sell the buns frozen, because our listeners might not understand that or think that that might be an inferior way to do it. Although they, you know, need to realize that when you put buns through a food service operator or distributor, you know, it has to have shelf life. You've got to do something to extend the shelf life. So you can do it a couple of different ways. You can freeze the bun, or you can put preservatives in the bun. So tell us about what your method is at Harvest Moon.
Right. So we're an SQF Level 9 manufacturing facility, which is safe quality food. our ingredient deck is like super, as minimal as we could possibly get it, and it's super clean. So we don't have any preservatives in the house. We use, you know, like really clean ingredients. We use sunflower oil in our products. So it's baked, it's cooled, it's sliced, it's in the box, and it's in the freezer within like 2 hours, and it's frozen at 20 below. It has a natural enzyme in it that'll help it thaw fresh one time. We highly recommend you don't refrigerate it because refrigeration kind of dries it out because of the lack of preservatives. But it'll last 3 months in the freezer. And, you know, you pull two bags out if that's all you're going to go through the next day in burgers in the morning or the night before, and you're good to go. It'll have a six-day room temp shelf life on all of our products. And, you know, like people who get fresh delivery, I mean, and again, there's like a bunch of really great bakeries here in Denver, and there's room for all of us. Those people who get fresh delivery, it's a nice service. You know, the people come in and they rotate the stock on the racks for them, and, you know, it's fresh. I mean, it's fresh baked. Ours, if you thaw it out and put it next to those, you wouldn't know that it was frozen, to be honest with you.
No, you don't. No, it's frozen. Right. You can't tell.
Yeah, you really can't tell. And, you know, and so, like, in the resort towns, the pack size is perfect. The fact that they can freeze it for 30 days, you know, 90 days is great. You know, you pull them as you need them. You know, so you could, if you have the freezer space, it's a really good way to go.
So once an operator thaws your bun out, then what? Let's talk about, you know, what's the best way to prep that bun before it goes on the perfect burger, you know. So I was at a Miami airport yesterday. I did a food show there, American Food and Beverage Show. And I'm coming back and I'm looking for a good gourmet burger place. And I found one. I found one in the airport, Miami. So it was great. Local place.
Nice.
And boy, was I disappointed, you know, because I really don't mind spending $15, $16 for a good gourmet burger. That's kind of the normal price these days. But, you know, I get this bun and it's cold and it was never toasted or buttered or anything and on it. And I thought, wow, they blew it there. So tell us about someone, an operator. What is an operator normally like? An operator that's really trying to sell you a gourmet burger and give you that great eating experience. What are they going to do to your bun after they thaw it out?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just don't keep it right above the line where it's super hot. And just, I mean, pull it apart and run it across the butter wheel and stick it on a flat grill is the best way to do it. It'll bring out a nice crunch to it, a little hint of sweetness with most of them. It's just, you know, it looks great. When I'm at home, I take a little bit of freaking sunflower oil or olive oil and just dab a little on there, throw it on the grill, and then, like, quarter turn it and get the lines on there. That's a really good way to do it, too. But you definitely, all bread likes a little heat. You know what I mean? I mean, if you have a bun that's just straight out of the bag, I mean, without toasting it, you're not going to get the same quality experience of a burger, I think, personally.
Yeah, so for our listeners at home, you know they probably don't have a butter wheel, but like you said, you can just brush some olive oil or any oil and put it in. Don't put it in the microwave, okay? But put it on your...
No, don't microwave it. Yeah, stick it on the grill, man. I mean, you don't even have to put anything on it, to be honest with you, on ours. Just getting that, you know, the heat to it and getting that crunch to it is key. Because most people put, you know, I'm like a pickles, mustard, lettuce kind of guy on my burgers. It's kind of, might sound kind of weird, but maybe a little bacon if I'm like, you know, living on the edge. But a lot of people, you know, like put a lot of condiments on there. So you want, and that'll, you know, soak right into it if it's not toasted up, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Now, your company, Harvest Moon Baking Company, does not sell, tell me if I'm wrong, but you do not sell your product in retail stores just through food service, correct?
We do not. I mean, there are a few places around town, like Tony's Meat, Tony's Markets. They, you know, buy our stuff and then repackage it and sell a little retail here and there. I mean, there's a few places you can get it, but we do not at this point. We have not gone down that path. You know, it could be something we could do down the road. But again, because it's frozen, you know, most of those places that you buy bread at, I mean, it can sit on a shelf for 10 days.
Right, you know? Right. Gino, I used to work at the bakery plant for the local King Soopers chain. They have their own bakery. And so they're making dough and baking product all night long at their central bakery over off Alameda and I-25. And then they ship it out to the stores every day. And a lot of their bread is frozen after they cook it, and then they thaw it at the store. In fact, you've probably seen this or experienced this. You go reach in the back in the bread aisle. You're trying to find the freshest date you can find, and then you feel it. It's cold. It's frozen. They're thawing that thing out And there's nothing wrong with that at all. But my point is, for listeners that want to have, you know, the ultimate Harvest Moon Baking Company bun, they're going to have to find that at a restaurant. So what are some of the restaurants in the Denver metro area that serve your product?
The list goes on and on. Sam's Number 3 uses all of our breads, from all the sliced breads on, you know, every plate, every toast that you will get is on ours, as well as the burger buns. Whiskey Row is freaking awesome downtown. I don't know if you've been there. Kirk Bentley's Whiskey Row. That place is cool. He uses all of our products. The Tappan Burger chain, they use our brioche sesame. If you want like a really, really rockin' burger, they have a Blake's Brisket Burger down there that is on our brioche sesame bun that is like one of the best burgers I've ever had.
I sell them the burgers, so that's good to know. Yeah, they're a great operator.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah.
That is awesome. So the list goes on and on. I mean, you know, we should probably do a little post every once in a while of all the places that use us. But if you go to our Instagram page, Gretchen, our social media person over here, constantly posts all the really fun places that use Harvest Moon, and the list is big.
Yeah, I'm sure it's hundreds. It's hundreds of accounts long. So, I think people that are looking for a gourmet burger, they can just ask the wait person that's serving them. You know, hey, where do you guys get your bread from, or where did this bun come from? And they can find it. Yeah.
So I do that everywhere I go, and if they're not sure, I go, hey, have you ever seen a box that on the side of it says, "Thanks for letting us handle your buns." Because we put that on every box that's on.
Right. Yeah. It's very prominent. It's very prominent. Yeah. It's very.
Yeah. So that's a tagline that we came up with, that and Raised in the Rockies. So we were very clever with our baking taglines, you know. But everybody's heard of the "Thanks for letting us handle your buns" line.
Hey, Gino, I wanted to talk about there's probably some young listeners or some parents of younger listeners that. Their kids are in college or high school, or maybe even people that are just kind of wanting to do a career change. And you and I have been in the food service industry a long time. You know, you started in restaurants. I started in restaurants, and then you took your music channel, but you weren't too far out of the food business when you're doing your music gig. And then you've had a good career and a good run as a supplier for food service. So tell us what are your thoughts for younger people or people looking for a career change on opportunities in the food service industry?
Well, it's such an interesting thing right now because, as you know, I mean, the customer service and the staffing and everything is just, you know, not at its peak right now due to COVID and everything else. So there's a lot of opportunities out there for people to become in just about any position in a restaurant these days, you know what I mean? And I think a lot of owners are really willing to train and, you know, to try and turn these people into like being a career, restaurant type of a person. I mean, from every piece part of the restaurant, from the front of the house to the, you know, to the back. I mean, I would suggest, I mean, I started off washing dishes and, you know, like next thing I knew I was working in, you know, doing pastries and doing expo. And then I was like, well, screw that. I'm going to be a waiter because I can make more money, especially in Vail. I was like, okay, these guys are, you know, this is where all the money is.
Sure.
But I think there's a lot of opportunity right now because there's, you know, a lot of people left the restaurant business to do other things during COVID, and everybody's still struggling to hire people back. So, you know, if you get in there and put your time in, I think you can work your way up. I have a friend who is the general manager of a restaurant downtown that she started off as a busser like 7 years ago, and now she's the general manager of this place, and she's just done really well for herself. And, you know, just put the time in and pay attention. And, you know, my big thing is on my business cards, I used to say the happiest guy you know, and it's like all about just being, you know, being positive and being willing to jump right in with both feet and do whatever it takes and have fun with it as you go. And that's the beauty of the restaurant business, too, I think, is that it always has been fun for me. I mean, even when you're, like, totally in the weeds and, you know, you don't think you're going to make it through, you know, you always do. And it's, I don't know, I've had a lot of fun with it. So.
Yeah, well, that social interaction is fun. You know, working in a busy restaurant is, very exciting. And it's tiring. It's exhausting. You know, and I've had a lot of friends, you know, that started working in restaurants, and then they get to know the industry a little bit, and then they decide they want to, you know, change their hours, maybe not work those nights and weekends. So they'll go work for maybe a food service distributor, and there's tons of those to go work for as a salesperson. Or you can go work for a manufacturer. Like, I'm a manufacturer's rep. You are you work for a manufacturer. There's a lot of opportunities on the manufacturing side where it's more kind of an 8-to-5 job or 9-to-10 job, maybe just not the nights and weekends. So there's a lot of different things you can do, you know, once you're kind of in the know and you know people.
Oh, there definitely is, yeah. And, you know, like, I mean, this was a lot more fun for me than it was even being in, like, a server or, you know, managing a restaurant. I just love doing what I'm doing now because all I do is talk. And I talk a lot, and I love talking to people. Like, I love doing food shows because, you know, we call ourselves show huggers when we do food shows because we go early, we stay late, we talk to everybody, and, you know, nobody gets by us without a, hey, how you doing? You know, it's super fun to, you know, get the energy from all the people in this industry. So I think it's a great career for anybody who's looking for something to do that doesn't want to maybe go to college or doesn't want to go, you know, leave town to go do something else. There's a lot of opportunity out there.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with going to college, but so many young people today go to college without really knowing what they want to study, and then they get a degree that's kind of a bogus degree, go into debt to get the bogus degree. Then they come out, work a year or two in the industry they thought they would like, and then they realize, yeah, I'm not really cut out for this. It's not my cup of tea, which there's nothing wrong with that process of discovery. We all go through that. But anymore, you know, gosh, college costs too much anymore. It's not like 1950s, 60s, 70s where college was reasonable and cost you a couple grand to go through. Now it's 100 grand or more. So I tell people, go work in the industry for a couple of years. You know, my own kids have done this. Go work for a couple of years and then decide if you want to pursue a degree in that field. And a lot of times, you know, like in the food service industry, they don't really care if you have a college degree. What they care is you show up to work and you're competent with your job and you enjoy what you do and you have a good work ethic and you're teachable and you bring a good attitude to work every day. Those characteristics will get you very far and very well paid in life without a college education. So, yeah, no disrespect. I have a college degree, but no disrespect to those getting a college degree. There's a lot of jobs that you have to have a college degree for. But, hey, in the food service industry, there's a ton of great jobs if you just work and show up.
Yeah, there is. And I know a lot of people who, like, were going to college and working in a restaurant and loved it so much, you know, they went to graduated from college. They didn't follow their career, their college degree. You know, they went and stayed in the restaurant business.
Which sure.
You know, that happens a lot too.
Yep.
Paul Cruz is over here waving his hand at you, Greg. He's like, that's what he did. He was in the military. He was in graduated from college, and now he's a Harvest Moon guy.
Yeah, we'll say hey to Paul and Gino. I'm sorry, we're already out of time. We've already exhausted our time. But hey, everybody, if you want to know about the Harvest Moon Baking Company, they have a great website. You can just Google Harvest Moon Baking Company and find it. And hey, when you're in those restaurants, ask where they get their buns from. Hey, thanks, Gino, for coming on the show today. It was good talking to you, and we'll catch you at the next food show.
That sounds great. Thanks for having me, man. It was really fun. I look forward to doing it again sometime, and thanks for letting us handle your buns.
Thanks, Gino. Take care. Today's show is brought to you by RanchFreshMeats.com. You can't buy Harvest Moon buns at RanchFreshMeats.com, but you can buy restaurant-quality premium meats, the same premium meats that we sell to restaurants wholesale. Hey, have you ever tried a Wagyu brisket or a tri-tip or a Wagyu flat iron steak from Dan Morgan's Wagyu Ranch? Or how about a jalapeno or British back bacon from Tim Beeler's premium Duroc line of pork? At Ranch Fresh Meats, we've found the best quality bison, beef, chicken, pork, and more, and you can get it all in one box from one locally owned Colorado company. Go to RanchFreshMeats.com. Here's to the farmer that plants the fields in the spring, that turn from green to that harvest honey. Hold one up for the banker downtown that got him on his feet with handshake money.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.